Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Hey, so what I did, we had a great phone call from Buck in Bozeman, and I said, hey, Buck, we'll get to you at the start of the 7 o'clock hour, but then I realized, actually, we have a great guest on the show here joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. So what I did, I recorded a conversation with Buck in Bozeman during the break. I'll share that here later in the hour for you. But, yeah, we've got the vice president of the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, Jeff Brabant, joining us on this show right now. Jeff, great to have you on Montana Talks. Montana is a huge small business state, as you know, and so making these Trump tax cuts permanent is a huge deal for Montana.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for having me on. For small businesses, NFIB, just for your audience awareness, represents about 300,000 small business owners across the country with thousands of business owners in every state. So what our number one concern is, and our average member has about 7 to 8 employees, is your real small mom and pop Main Street businesses, your farmers, your ranchers, the real small operations. And they're looking at a big tax hike at the end of the year if Congress doesn't get this big tax bill done Congress is talking about. So that's a huge issue. One thing a lot of people don't realize is that when you think business taxes, most people think, all right, you have a C corporate, right? That's what corporations pay, and Congress had a huge permanent cut of that in 2017. What they forget is that 9 in 10 small businesses are C corporations. They're what we refer to as these pass-through businesses. That's a fancy word for basically saying you have income that you just pay regular individual income taxes on it. So when Congress cut that C corporate rate by 14 points, they didn't have a 14-point cut in the individual tax rate. So those 9 in 10 small businesses paying this pass-through rates, we're saying, well, what are we going to do? So Congress creates this 20% deduction for small businesses that basically gets their effective rate a lot closer to the C-Corp rate. However, that deduction expires at the end of the year. So there were 26 million businesses who claimed this in 2021. So we're looking at tens of millions of small businesses having a huge tax hike at the end of the year if Congress doesn't get this tax bill done. And those are just small businesses at a time when their bigger business rivals won't see a tax hike. So I think that there was, I don't know if you reported on this, but there's draft legislation released yesterday. It looks like not only in the first draft, at least, will they extend this, but they want to make this provision permanent and actually increase the size of the deduction. So far it's great news for small business. It looks like Congress not only wants to take care of them in the long term, but even give them a little boost so they can compete with their bigger rivals.
Yeah, no, this is huge. I know the NFIB here in Montana has been talking about this as well. I mean, and you know, not only do we as individuals need the Trump tax cuts to not only be reauthorized, but I agree with you, make it permanent. Just to set this in so that you have the long term, especially for these small businesses, they need to know, they need to be able to plan. And I think it would just be such a huge boost to our American economy if they just make the Trump tax cuts permanent. I did see, by the way, too, hey, what about no tax on tips? Trump's one big, beautiful bill gets no tax on tips and overtime. Included in this one big beautiful bill. That's the latest update at thedailywire.com. We'll talk more with NFIB Vice President Jeff Brabant right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings, as we'll also see some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the region. For tonight, looking at showers likely, along with a few thunderstorms, overnight lows from 40 in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It's gotten to be a very big story since ABC News first disclosed it. President Trump accepting as a gift a $400 million luxury jet from Qatar, saying, well, it'd be crazy for me not to accept this gift. And even Laura Loomer, his Uber-right advisor, breaking with him on this, saying this is a stain on his presidency because Qatar funds terrorism around the globe. Now, Trump says, what, I should pay, you know, $1 billion for it? Now, after he uses it as Air Force One, it then will become a gift to the Trump Presidential Library. And Trump went off on ABC saying, your network is a disaster. ABC is a disaster. Clearly, he is digging in on his defense. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, nearly, I was talking with NFIB Vice President Jeff Brabant, nearly 5,000 small businesses here in Montana are a part of the NFIB. Jeff, you know, you were talking about why we need to make, not only reauthorize, but make the small business tax deduction permanent here. This would basically, if Congress doesn't act and if this small business tax relief expires, as I understand it, this would result in the biggest tax increase ever on small businesses.
Yeah, it'll be a massive tax hike. So we're looking at, you lose the 20% deduction on your business income, and then you couple that with the fact that these individual rates will go up on 5 out of 7 brackets. So that's something everyone who gets a paycheck, probably like me and you, is concerned about, right? You don't want to see your individual rates go up, but people forget, like I said, small business owners, for the most part, aren't EC corporations. They're these pass-through businesses who pay the individual rates. So they're going to see a rate hike, and they're going to lose this deduction. So it's going to be a bit of a double whammy, which is going to result in a massive tax hike on what we estimate over 30 million small businesses. So that's not a small world, and that isn't in a vacuum either. As I stated earlier, the big C corporations will not see a tax increase if nothing happens. But 30 million small businesses will. So that's not exactly the type of environment Congress usually wants to set when Congress says, you know, small businesses are the backbones of America. Well, you don't want to increase their taxes at a time when the people they're competing with aren't seeing a tax hike.
And then on top of that, your individual income taxes would see a massive hike if the Trump tax cuts go away as well. Again, that's something else that just needs to be made permanent. Well, I know later this morning we're going to be catching up with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke. We're doing a statewide town hall meeting with him in the 9 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk with him. One of the things for sure will be the importance of getting this done by the 4th of July, by Freedom Friday on Independence Day. That's the deadline everybody seems to be talking about.
Yeah, the sooner the better. When you were talking about certainty before, that's something small business owners really need. Once we start to get to the fall, they're going to be looking up and saying, well, I really want to buy this piece of equipment next year, but what if my taxes go up and I don't have money for it? Or I'm really thinking about hiring a couple new people next year. Maybe I put that on hold until I actually see what my tax rates are going to be so I could plan for that. So a lot of those big capital investments that really spur the economy and have a trickle-down effect on the rest of the economy, right? Because if you're a small business, you buy a piece of equipment, you're probably buying it from another small business in Montana. You're a farmer, you're buying a tractor, right? This affects a lot of different businesses and really affects a lot of folks in the economy. So if they have to start to put those decisions on hold, you're going to see an economic downturn. So the sooner Congress can do this, the better. To really spur the economy.
Well, and what we've seen time and time again is you cut taxes, you keep taxes low, these small businesses respond. They do better, which means the economy does better, which means more revenue actually comes in. And we've seen that time and time again. Our state legislature just cut income taxes once again for the third session in a row. And yet each time they cut taxes, we get more of a surplus following that. So talk about a little bit about The optimism index that the NFIB tracks amongst small business owners. I know talking with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal here, I mean, we've talked a lot about how the optimism of small businesses has just been soaring ever since the November elections.
Yeah, we saw a big turnaround in November after the election. For the several months after that, it really went up. And we've been tracking this monthly since the 1970s, asking the exact same questions from the 1970s. These are objective questions, not subjective questions. So it's purely, do you plan on investing? Do you plan on hiring more people? Just purely objective questions. So there's no funny business in the question. We've known it since the 70s, and it went up significantly in the fall and winter. And we think it's because small business owners look and say, all right, now I don't have to worry about my regulatory environment changing every few months. I don't have to worry about a new piece of paperwork. I don't have to worry about a new burden that's going to take time away from a business owner going and trying to grow their business because they're dealing with compliance and paperwork issues. Because most people forget, if you have 5 employees, you don't have a lawyer or an HR team or a compliance team to A, even figure out what a regulation means, and B, figure out how to comply. You have to do it yourself. And that means less time trying to grow your business and trying to make your business stronger. So that's a huge issue. And there's also the tax environment. The Biden administration multiple times proposed significant tax increases on small businesses. A lot of them were defeated. We were lucky enough to defeat them. But if you keep hearing these new proposals, how your taxes go up, it's probably not going to be great for optimism. So I think you understand that the Trump administration is probably going to roll back some regulations and is hopefully going to cut taxes or make sure there's no tax increases. It's been a real boon for small business.
Well, that regulation piece is key. I think Evelyn Pyburn just reported on Monday that $16,000 is the cost of regulations. That we the people pay, that an American family would pay from the regulation standpoint. So government regulations are a significant cost driver for all of us as well. Some might say sometimes even more impactful than the taxes. But the tax cuts are a certainty. That's why those need to be made permanent and reauthorized. NFIB Vice President Jeff Brabant, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning. We've got about 30 seconds to go. Anything else that you want to share with our listeners across Montana?
Appreciate you having me on. Want to make sure you contact your member of Congress, just because it might be a good idea to make sure small business optimism is going up, and it might be a good idea to make sure that there's no tax hike on small business. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of things in this bill members of Congress are concerned about. Make sure you call them, tell them, don't raise my taxes if you're a small business owner. They need to hear from you.
I'm assuming consumer confidence is ticking up again as well, especially after the stock market roared back earlier this week, but to me, that small business optimism index is really the key, because those are the people that are trying to plan what they're going to do business wise, economy wise, etc. Jeff, great to have you. Thanks again for your time this morning here on the show. All right, coming up right after this, I'll share that phone call from Buck in Bozeman. And then I think we've got another great guest in the queue coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report with us as well. So stand by. We're going to take you to Dillon, Montana here in just a few minutes.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and then planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential to disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. As the countdown to the end of the school year ticks down, many students will be facing a slew of final exams and projects. Some are even starting the hunt for their future careers. Mental health experts warn that this time can be filled with stress. They advise against engaging in unhealthy coping methods, like emotional eating, self-isolation, and oversleeping. Instead, they suggest stress prevention tools that won't trigger negative side effects, like physical activity and taking deep breaths.
You can also keep what's called a stress journal. You can just kind of keep track of what the stressor is and what caused the stressor, and then how you reacted to that stressor, and then maybe how you managed that stressor. And if you do that for a few days, maybe up to a week, you might start to identify some of those things that are causing a lot of stress.
That's Dr. Rhonda Ron, a Texas A&M University Health Behavior Instructional Associate Professor. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
New News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
On Sunday, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announced the suspension of live cattle, horses, and bison imports through U.S. ports of entry along the southern border due to the continued and rapid northward spread of New World screwworm in Mexico, effective immediately. Montana Stock Growers Association President Leslie Robinson says they support the secretary's decision.
I just want to reiterate that food safety and food security is national security, and I really appreciate, again, that the secretary has made the move that she has to make sure that this does not come into the United States. We've had it before, and we do not want it again, and I just appreciate that they are taking it as serious as they are. This is not a new problem, and they have known what was going on, and the United States government is trying to work with the Mexican government, and they have tried, but things are just progressing closer and closer to the United States, and that's why I feel the United States government has taken the position that they have to make sure that they protect our industry, and then we don't we just have to make sure that they're handling it on the Mexican side also.
In the 1960s, America's cattle producers spent years and millions of dollars to eradicate New World screwworm from the U.S. Screwworm have been found just 700 miles away from the U.S. border in Mexico. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's keep the Farm and Ranch Report going there. It was great to hear from Montana Stock Growers President Leslie Robinson there out of Phillips County. And great out of Beaverhead County. Great to catch up with a past president of the Montana Stock Growers, Brian Massard with Reminis Angus Ranch. Brian, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How are you, Aaron?
Hey, I'm doing great. I had some good beef for dinner last night, so that always leads to a good start for the next morning on the show. You know, I don't know why is it that the folks on the left and the legacy media they're now like they're bashing this what they call a national lust for protein. I mean, you know, it's like, they're just saying it out loud that they don't want people to exercise. They don't want people to eat healthy. They want people to chop off their body parts. I mean, my goodness.
Well, yeah, you can tell who they're working for when they're beating that drum. There's no money to be made in healthy people. We've talked about that before. And they, you know, they've got to demonize protein. They've got to demonize fat. They've got to demonize health because they make more money off of pharmaceutical companies donating to their campaign. And we saw that. We saw that in this last one. Bernie Sanders, what was he, 1.9? It was either him or Pocahontas got 1.9 million from pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Yeah, and there he was. And then AOC, who was standing alongside him, I don't take money from lobbyists. It's like, yeah, you do. Here's the spreadsheet showing the whole list. Yeah. Well, hey, I got to say, we had a fun conversation with Tucker Garrigan from N-Soil Algae a while back, and it was fun. He was talking a little bit about, you know, what they're doing with N-Soil Algae along with you at Reminis Angus Ranch.
Yeah, it's really been an amazing journey for us. You know, 4 years ago, we put it on for the first time and saw dramatic results on our place, and we continued to use it. We've done different trials with it. And you know, we're seeing cattle gain better on it. We're seeing, we breed cattle in the fall, so it's really tough to get cattle bred in September and October. There's no green grass out there. It's all yellow, and it's always been a struggle for us. But, geez, the cattle are actually gaining. Our young cows are heavier. They're breeding up better, and we're running another trial this summer. We're actually spraying algae all over right now. Lots of new people start to use it, but we're going to put it on another place. Our summer place is a completely different climate than our winter place, and so our home place is really dry. And if we can leave our cows up on the summer place longer with this algae on there, then that just gives us more flexibility.
Interesting. And so how do the mechanics of it work? How long does it take to apply it? As I understand, it's just kind of like a thin, tiny little spray that you do.
Yeah, it's liquid. They grow it in water. It exists, like he was explaining last time, it exists in all waters, but at this, they figured out a way to keep it alive in the dark. They're the only ones that know how to do it. There's a lot of, I guess there's a lot, I didn't even know there was a lot of these out there on the market, but they've got a patent on it, and maybe that's why it works so well. But you just dump it in a spray rig, and the amazing thing about it, which I still can't figure out, you can mix it in with your weed spray, you can mix it in with anything, and it still works in the ground. It just activates the microbes, and so we just spray it out on ours. The only thing we have is grasslands, and so we spray it out on that, and the grass responds amazingly well, and we see different vitamin and mineral levels in corn silage and alfalfa and grain hay on the places we've used it the last 2 or 3 years, and it just basically it's opening up that soil and getting the microbes to communicate with the plant better, and it just brings more nutrition to the plant, which the cattle get more nutrition from that, and it all comes from the soil. So it's a very neat application.
Healthy soil, better beef, healthier people. I know we've talked about all the above with you, you know, over the past few months, and you've been working, you previously been working closely with RFK Jr., who's now a Secretary of Health and Human Services. But talk about the premium steaks, the ground beef, the jerky, and how really that healthy soil strengthens all those products.
Oh, it's tremendous. That's where it all starts. I mean, steaks from soil. That's where it comes from. I mean, if your ground is active and the ground is providing more nutrition to the plant, the plant's providing more nutrition to the cows convert that into better nutrition for us. And so our program is developing, and we're having to work with all of our partners so that our beef is going to have it all the way through. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to have that all the way through. All the feed that we get them to the very end is going to have that, and it makes a big difference. There is a measurable difference in it. Add that to the genetics that we've been using for 34 years with one bloodline for flavor. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, it's good stuff. Yeah, make sure you check out Reminisce Angus Ranch. You can, you know, get it. I think Town and Country stores have got some of your products. And then, of course, your jerky. You can see it on some of the gas stations across Montana as well. All right, hold that thought. Back with Brian Massard here, Reminisce Angus Ranch, in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. And then I promise I'll sneak in that call from Buck and Bozeman. But I wanted to roll from one ranch report into... .com, remangus.com is the website. Brian Massard, is that the best place for folks to go if they want to find more about your products, more about your beef? And then what else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, yeah, that's the place to go. And call in our office. We're reconstructing our website right now, so the office number's there. Call the office number. And we like talking to people anyway. It's nice to explain the program. So that's where you want to go. Don't be afraid to call the office if you want to get more information about us. We're actually headed to D.C. tomorrow to participate in a roundtable that the Secretary has organized. And we're just going to bring rural America to the table with all the doctors and nutritionists and scientists and policymakers that are making decisions right now, and make sure they understand the source of why we're at where we're at with chronic illness, and why so many farmers and ranchers are, you know, the finances are squeezing, and make sure that we're at that table, because a lot of decisions get made and they just kind of, yeah, you guys will be fine over here. They put us over in the corner, or they tell the kids to go outside and play, and we'll make the best decisions for you. And so it's imperative that we're sitting there and they understand how all these decisions have affected ranching and farming all across the country, and that they need to think about that moving forward.
That's great. So you'll be on that panel that the secretary is putting together tomorrow, because you've been working closely with RFK Jr. and really to talk about, you know, why we need to move away from seed oils and back towards, you know, tallow and beef fat in particular. And, man, I've been seeing so many health books that have been making that argument as well. But so we're still waiting for big news on that front out of HHS. But RFK has already been making some big moves when it comes to the food industry already, though.
Yeah, they're rebuilding the dietary guidelines, and basically I'm going to sit at the table as saturated fat and make sure they address, we can't move forward with chronic illness, we can't move forward with making people healthy again without that ingredient. And that same ingredient, by taking that out of our diets and falsely saying that it causes heart disease and falsely saying it causes diabetes for the last 70 years, has got to end. And the USDA, the outfit, the one agency that's supposed to protect agriculture, has done more to destroy rural America with that one issue than anybody else. And they're supposed to be watching out for us. And our own beef council, we can't say fat is healthy. They're not allowed to because USDA deems it unhealthy.
Wow.
That has to end immediately. And that's going to be my message. We're not going to get forward. We're just going to be kicking against the goat and fighting against the symptoms of this industry moving forward.
Take the muzzles off, right? Take the muzzles off. All right, Brian Massard, Reminis Angus Ranch, great to have you on the show. Quick break. I'm going to play the Buck and Bozeman call first, I promise. And then we've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lear and another great Montana rancher, Jocelyn Galt Cahill. They're going to talk about a water bill that is sitting on the governor's desk right now. So that'll be coming up here right after this.
Montana Talks. Will you get the mic? Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, sneaking in a phone call here from Buck in Bozeman. Buck, yeah, we were talking about Gallatin County, illegal aliens, the commissioners and the county attorney standing in the way of ICE. What's your thoughts? What'd you want to throw out there?
Well, I don't really feel like Gallatin County is all that motivated to get the illegals out, because it kind of is counterintuitive to their development plan. I mean, they've got these giant companies like Argo Murray who have, you know, anywhere near 300 to 400 employees in this town that aren't from here. They're from Chicago. And I'm speculating, but it sure seems like the vast majority of them are, you know, let's say under what Chicago would call a legal workforce, not necessarily what Bozeman, Montana would call a legal workforce.
When you say, yeah, because there are ways where you can get legal work permits to work in the area, you know, work at one of the resorts, you know, even work in one of the, you know, construction industries. But it just seems like, yeah, Gallatin County as a whole, they're trying to two-step this whole thing. They're trying to talk out of both sides of their mouth here.
Well, so, Aaron, I'm in the industry, right? I have, you know, near 100 employees. I hire people in, you know, several different trades, right? And so I'm familiar with the H-2B visas and what it takes to do that. And I have to vet people. I'm very familiar with that process. But when you look at the pattern in Bozeman, you know, the first thing they do is they drop off, you know, no one in town can own a VRBO, or you can have to go through these hoops. I used to own two rentals in town. They were VRBOs, and they start pushing on these local businesses because they want to be more friendly to large companies, like, you know, the hotel chains and the developers who don't want to compete with a, you know, a thriving VRBO market. And you just, the more you piece it together, the more you see that Gallatin County is more friendly to big corporations than it's ever been, and for whatever reason the crime rate seems to follow that.
Very interesting. Yeah, that kind of fits the pattern with their COVID-19 strategy. You know, let's go poke the local business owners in the eye, force them to try to shut down, threaten them. But then the big box stores, let them off the hook. Hey, Buck, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right. And the story that prompted that conversation was a story by KRTV where the Gallatin County attorney is now dropping felony charges against some crime suspects in Bozeman. We'll tell you more about that story again later on in the 8 o'clock hour when the Joker joins us in the house. But first, let's switch tracks. Great to have Montana Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, now with us on Montana Talks. Mr. Speaker, good to have you back on the show.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm assuming you're back home in Savage now. Tell us about this water legislation that I believe is still sitting on the governor's desk. What do you think? Is he going to sign it or veto it? And what do our listeners need to hear?
You know, I don't know if he's going to sign it or veto it. I know that someone in his administration don't really much care for it. But I guess what we really need to know is that the land board on state lands, they have the ability to seize private water rights that are being diverted or used on state land. So if you have a well that's not on state land, but you're using that water to irrigate water stock, anything of the such, the state can then take that lease. So anyway, we just want people to know that the legislature's watching, and we would hopefully that the governor would sign it. So,
yeah. So for a little bit of the backstory here, we covered it on the show. I think we had Attorney General Austin Knutson on the program. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about water rights and whether or not the state can just say unilaterally take these water rights from these Montana ranch families. Especially if they're using state lands. So you have a pre-existing water right, you now get access to a lease on state lands, and then because you used your water to help the state land, the state might come in and take your water right. I mean, that just sounds outrageous. And so the land board kind of took this up, and the land board tried to get involved. But I think the point here with this legislation, if I'm not mistaken, is to say, well, look, it shouldn't even be up to the land board. These are rights for a reason. Is that this bill, House Bill 676?
Correct, and that is exactly what this bill does. And one thing people have to remember on state land, when a leasee or a leaseholder have that state land and they lease it, none of the improvements that they put on that state land are bought and paid for by the state. That's all bought and paid for by the leasee. And then at the end, they get it, they can get, if they decide not to hold the lease or somebody outbid them, then they get paid for their improvements, but that's all depreciated out. So this money is not being, the state has no financial stake in this besides that, they benefit from the water and it makes the lease more valuable, which then in return puts more money into the school. So it behooves the state to let somebody put their private water right on there and make the land more valuable and more productive.
Yeah, it seems like a key way. Like if we want to improve state lands, we would want to encourage people to leverage their pre-existing water rights to help improve those state lands. And whereas if you're under a threat of losing your water rights, if you do so, well, why would you ever want to take part in that? It's a huge discouraging thing. And then that affects the value of that state land if less people are bidding for it, et cetera. All right, Mr. Speaker, hold that thought. Let's sneak on Jocelyn Cahill here as well.
This is the Fox News Radio 5 minute news.
Yeah, you got to kill the Fox News update. I'm like, what is that beep coming from? All right. Always got to press that button, turn off the alerts there. All right, sorry about that. Jocelyn Cahill, yeah, great to have you back on the show. She is with the Senior Ag Water Rights Alliance. And Jocelyn, I think you were the first one to put this issue on our radar.
Yes, we were on. I was on with you talking about other water issues, I think, right when Speaker Lear dropped this bill. And so we got to talk about it in real time.
What would you add to what the speaker and I just covered?
Yeah, so this has become such a huge issue for water users. I mean, I've been on a couple times talking with you about this, what the land board's doing, and how we can help protect ranchers from this. And I think the best thing about House Bill 676 is it really lessens confusion. It states explicitly in there that the land board or no one, the state cannot claim ownership of a water right that is temporarily diverted as long as it is used as it was established on private property. So there's no guessing. There's no, you know, is the land board going to see this differently? Is somebody else going to, is DNRC going to see this differently? It's very explicitly stated in the law that when the land board can and cannot assert ownership. So ranchers have the assurance that if they temporarily divert their own water on there, that the state cannot come in and try to claim ownership, which is just a huge protection and makes ranchers and farmers more willing to put their water onto that state lease and improve it.
And this actually happened to your ranch, this very scenario that we're talking about.
Yes. In Martinsdale, we had a private well on our property that was wholly within our family's name, diverted it over to a state lease to put a stock tank to water our cows that were on that lease. And DNRC came in and tried to assert ownership over that water right that was diverted onto that for that stock tank.
And I think the land board eventually made a right call to not strip away some of these water rights. But here's the deal. Well, what if the land board changes sometime down the road? Even if you think we can trust the current land board members, what happens if you get changes on the land board down the road? I mean, politics can change every 2 to 4 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, the land board is making good strides in this and that they're paying attention. And there's another motion now to involve the water users. But at the end of the day, you're exactly right. We don't know who's going to sit on this in the future. And the opinions of whether the water is temporarily diverted, even if it is still just wholly your water right, that's left up for interpretation. And that's uncertainty for ranchers.
Yeah, and it's important, you know, even for those of us that live in town and work in other industries to know that, look, this is, really not just a huge industry here in Montana, but it's a huge part of our Montana culture and our Montana way of life. And we're losing enough ranch land already when you got these out-of-state foreign financiers funding outfits like the American Prairie Reserve. So we got to protect what we got and support these businesses, support these family ranches, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
All right, well, hold that thought. Jocelyn Cahill and Montana Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, I got to take a quick break here. If you guys got to run, we understand. But if you want to stick around and join us for a quick few minutes here as we wrap up the hour, stand by. We'll come back to you after this. And then John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us in the 8 o'clock hour.
There's only one place where history, culture, and adventure meet on the National Mall. Where museum days turn to electric nights. Where Riverside sunrises glow and monuments shine in moonlight. Where there's something new for everyone to discover. There's only one DC. Visit Washington.org to plan your trip.
Fox News commentary.
One Canadian province is seriously considering taking President Trump up on his offer. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
It is time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
I'm having what she's having. It's a quote from a 1989 film starring Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Name the film.
E.T.
When Harry Met Sally.
You got it. When Harry Met Sally.
Either way you did, you can always try again tomorrow. Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
So Canada is a liberal country, no doubt, but just as U.S. states vary in political preference, not all Canadians are raging anti-Trump leftists. In fact, the Canadian province of Alberta is closer than ever to breaking away from the rest of the Great White North and even reportedly mulling President Trump's 51st state offer. Premier Danielle Smith announced Alberta will hold its first ever referendum on independence in 2026. The oil-rich and far more conservative province is sick and tired of Canada's liberal government blocking pipeline initiatives and other oil and gas projects. A recent poll suggests 36% support the Alberta separation. Many residents are intrigued at the thought of becoming our cherished 51st state. Lower taxes, more freedom, unleashed energy potential, and more. Albertans have a lot to gain from the move, and I'd love to see it. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-50s in Bozeman to the upper 60s in Billings, as we'll also see some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the region. For tonight, looking at showers likely along with a few thunderstorms, overnight lows from 40 in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Wait, Joe Biden needs to go back to suntanning his what? What did we just hear on Montana Talks? I got a funny tweet from David Noble after Friday's show, and I had to wonder, was that John Jackson muffling his voice, pretending to be another caller? Anyway, Montana Talks, you never know what we're going to talk about on the show. But, yeah, great show on Friday. We're going to take more of your phone calls with Monday's Montana Talks as well. The governor's got a lot.
1942. Google Amber Earn online at listwithamber.com. Listwithamber.com.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a lot to talk about in the 8 o'clock hour. I want to play that Charlie Kirk soundbite that I was referencing earlier on in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm going to have to save that one for the 8 o'clock hour because time is just flying by. We kicked off the 7 o'clock hour talking about small business and the Trump tax cuts. Well, let me tell you about a great family-owned business right here in Montana. I just went and saw our friends at Brett's RV and Marine on Friday. I went and picked up my pontoon boat. Had a lake day on the weekend, heading into Mother's Day. Man, I don't know about you guys, but there's something about enjoying your weekend in Montana that just energizes you for the whole week ahead. But, yeah, I had a great time out on the water. Can't wait to get some camping trips in here as well. Some of you are thinking, man, I want to go on the water too, man. Well, go down and see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. I got a very affordable pontoon boat, but, man, you can go all the way up to the really fancy Barlettas. You got to see some of these things, 350, 400-plus horsepower on these things. Incredible what you can do with a pontoon boat. And then the campers, the RVs, I mean, they're the number one fifth-wheel dealer in Montana, the number one RV dealer in Montana, number one travel trailer and motorhome dealer in Montana as well. They've got the largest inventory in a five-state region for both RVs and boats. But, yeah, check out Brett's RV and Marine, Billings, Butte, and Missoula, or go to brettsrv.com. All right, just a quick couple of minutes left here. Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr. Yeah, we were talking about House Bill 676. He's encouraging the governor to sign that legislation. Mr. Speaker, what else are you keeping your eye on? What still awaits action on the governor's desk?
Well, looks
like we're...
Can you hear me?
Okay, we got you better. Yeah, you were getting that Eastern Montana cell phone for a second there.
No, I got about... I sent six bills down yesterday. I got about 15 left. I'm holding in my folder, and some of them, you know, we're kind of hoping that the governor signs, and they're, you know, just kind of getting information to him so he signs them. But there's quite a few big spending bills in there too that you know, we'll see. Hopefully, the governor can break out his veto pen once or twice and veto some of that. You know, some stuff to daycare, some stuff to. Just different oddball spending bills. Some of them, you know, are $5 million a year. Some of them are $15 million a year. So, you know, get us a little, you know, hopefully get a few more dollars saved for the Montana taxpayer through his veto pen. And so we'll get there. You know, House Bill 2 was just delivered to my desk yesterday, a member of my staff said. So I'll have to make a trip to Helena and get that one signed. See what he does with that one when it gets put on his desk.
Well, it was great to get a phone call from Representative Schillinger out of Circle the other day. You know, he was calling in from his sprayer, so he's back to work on the farm. I'm assuming you're back to work on the farm and ranch. John Tester, though, you know, he kept saying he was just going to go back to the family farm, but now he's on MSNBC. So what a phony.
Yeah, can't get away from that Democrat politics.
Yeah, he's exactly where a lot of us figured he would be, and I'm sure he's got some K Street money coming in as well. But yeah, what a fake, phony moderate. Well, glad you're back home. Thanks for your time in the legislature, Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr. Great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron.
John Jackson, the Joker from X, is in the house. John, throw that, give us a quick teaser for the 8 o'clock hour. What do you want? Not that we'll ever get to it, but what do you want to talk about in the 8 o'clock hour? I'm not promising we'll get to it, but...
So many things just happened right over the weekend that we can get into in the next hour. And President Trump is doing things like, say, in 24 or 48 hours that another president would take 2 years to do. And he's just doing it rapid fire over and over and over again.
Joe Biden only undoes things in this amount of time. He doesn't actually do anything in this amount of time, right? He just undoes the great work that others have accomplished.
Did you see they were talking about putting him in a wheelchair if he'd been reelected, Biden?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I missed that.
His own age, we're talking about putting him in a wheelchair.
Man. I loved it. They were going to give him a cognitive test and not tell him about it. Like, they admitted that on camera. My goodness.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and in planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential to disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.